Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deb Flaschenberg. Welcome to Yoga, Birth, Babies, a podcast produced by Prenatal Yoga Center. We will be diving into everything prenatal yoga, birth, and baby-related, hoping to inspire, educate, and empower you through your journey into motherhood. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Deb Flaschenberg, and I'm your host of Yoga Birth Babies. And today we're going to talk about anxiety and the need to control your child or children. So when I came across this topic from our guest, I thought, wow, I totally relate to that because have I gone head-to-head, will-to-will with one or both of my kids in the past? Yes, I have. Have I felt like I needed to control things? Yes, I have. And have I let my anxiety help or run that desire to control things? Yes, I have. So when I came across Olivia Bergeron wanting to talk about this topic, I thought this is something I can relate to, and I feel like I'm not alone, that many other people can as well. So we go into this conversation about, does controlling really help? Does the strategy backfire? And does anxiety actually have a purpose? And what are some better strategies to help our child find their way instead of us trying to control? So as I mentioned, I have Olivia Bergeron on. She is a psychotherapist and a parenting coach specializing in helping clients feel proud of their parenting from pregnancy through the teen years. She has been helping parents since 2005. And Olivia offers psychotherapy to clients in New York, New Jersey, Florida, and parenting coaching to folks worldwide. She's got a lot of knowledge. She's incredibly smart, and I'm really excited for you to hear this conversation. Now, before we get to that, I just wanted to give some updates of what's happening at Prenatal Yoga Center. We are continuously adding more classes, so check our online. We currently have and plan to continue to have an online class available every day. And then we have what we call re-releases. So if you can't make the live class or the in-studio, we release the morning class twice throughout the day so that you can still participate and still get everything you want out of the class. We actually had a student yesterday for the postnatal. She popped on saying, I'm going to watch the re-release, but I want to work on neck and shoulders. Can you put that into class? And I did. So we've had people email, I'm not going to be able to make the class. I'm going to watch the re-release. Can you work on hips? And so we do. So your needs are still met by just letting us know what you're interested in doing. So that's what's happening for our online and our in-studio classes. And we're getting into more of our teacher training. So as I record this, we're finishing off our winter online teacher training, our prenatal yoga teacher training, revving up for our in-person teacher training, which I'm so excited about. And then we've got an online postnatal teacher training. We only do that once a year, our online postnatal teacher training. So if you're interested in that, check that out from our website. And I think that's it. So we're going to take a super quick break. And when we come back, please enjoy my conversation with Olivia.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, Olivia. How are you?
I'm doing excellently. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I'm really excited. So we've kind of circled around each other in the New York perinatal community. So this is the first time I've really chatted with you, and I'm excited. You've got so much knowledge. So thanks for being my guest.
I'm so happy to be here.
So let's jump in, and I'd love to learn a little bit about you and what brought you to your work working with parents.
Yeah, well, I've been a therapist since 2005, but when I had my own children, my daughter was two when my twins were born, it really became abundantly clear that there was just a lack of support for parents in general, but also a dearth of professionals that actually get where parents are coming from, frankly. Obviously, you know, you live in this area, there are an awful lot of therapists, there are parent coaches out there, but I think if you're not taking into account the specific context of having a child and doing it during a pandemic to boot, I just think you're missing a really big piece. So I do focus a lot on work a bit more holistically than most, and that I look at people's self-care, just because I think that the self-care tends to go out the window with parents. I don't know about in your experience, but yeah. I think we can kind of martyr ourselves.
Absolutely. In fact, I was just talking to my husband about that this morning, that my self-care is taking a shower by myself. Like that is it sometimes. So I totally understand that. So what is the parenting philosophy that guides you in your work with parents?
Yeah, so like I mentioned, I was a psychotherapist, and then when I was working with folks, they would come back to me, they would say, I'm doing fine, you know, my anxiety is under control, but now my child is tantruming and I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. Or I know what not to do. I don't want to parent the way that I was parented. So I was trained by Laura Markham, and she wrote Peaceful Parent, Happy Kids, and she lives here in Brooklyn, and she's great. But I find that her parenting philosophy really makes a lot of sense. And that is basically that you have to have self-regulation. So you don't want to throw gas on your child's fire. You want to throw water. And in order to do that, you need to make sure that you're taking care of yourself so you can approach things calmly. You connect with your child before you correct them. So you're doing that preventive maintenance. You're making sure that that relationship is strong with your child. And then you coach them, but you don't control them. Now, your child has control over themselves. You're in charge of them, of course. But the idea is that your responsibility is to help them through by coaching them and not trying to, get controlling and force your point of view on them.
So I'd love to go back to what you said about the self-regulation. So if a child is, cause I have a son that has ADHD, and regulation is something we're working on. So if someone has a child that is unregulated, and a parent may also have those tendencies, what is the first step then for everyone tampering that fire down?
Well, I think first of all is acknowledging what your triggers are, whether it's a certain time of day or a certain activity. I find generally it's around transitions, mm-hmm. that they go off the rails. So getting up, getting dressed, meal times, bath times, bedtimes, getting out the door. Those are times when our agendas tend to clash. So if you can acknowledge, first of all, you can cope in advance knowing that, okay, I know that generally speaking, when I ask my child to put his coat on, I get a lot of pushback. So how do I engage him in a way that is, I'm getting his cooperation, that he wants to go along with what I'm saying, so you can make it into a game, you can be lighthearted about it. But primarily, you want to make sure that the relationship with your child is strong so that he wants to preserve it. He doesn't want to disappoint you. So I also think that if there are certain situations that you feel like you are particularly triggered or upset, you know, making sure you're taking a pause, mm-hmm. slow things down. I think a lot of parents feel a lot of urgency. I need to get this done right now. When actually, if you zoom out a little bit, you know, it's not a big deal if you're a little bit late, if things are a little bit, you know, slowed down. So I think it's you know, prioritizing your relationship over this urgency, this sense of obligation that I have to do these certain things, you know, right this minute.
That makes a lot of sense. And something I'm excited that we're going to get into is that idea of controlling and anxiety and feeling, mm-hmm. letting the anxiety find control. I was actually speaking to my prenatal and postnatal class about this conversation we're having, and it was really interesting. Those that were pregnant for the first time, they're like, oh yeah, I never thought of that. And then I had a bunch of people in class that had already one or two kids and toddler age. And they're like, there is really a control struggle. And they were really interested. They're like, when is this going to come out? So I would love to talk a little bit about how parents feel that maybe it's more of a guidance than a control. So why do parents, in your opinion, become controlling?
Well, I think it's easy to get into a power struggle with our kids. Mm-hmm. We're convinced that we know what's right and they don't. And I think this desire to control oftentimes is motivated by anxiety. You know, if you're out and about, well, people are judging me because my child isn't getting in the stroller. And so we feel judged. We feel constricted by that sense of, again, people are watching me. Mm-hmm. So I get the sense that with parents, you know, there's such a high amount of pressure on us. We want to get things right.
Mm-hmm.
So the stakes feel so high, so that amps up our own anxiety. So it feels like, you know, this has to be done. There's only one way to do things. And it's my way. So, you know, your child, whether you're 3 or 33, doesn't want to be told what to do, frankly. And so children and all people, I think, will push back against that. That's why coming alongside them, you know, as opposed to coming at them, trying to impose your will on them and try, you know, either trying to break their will or to, you know, force them to do things, oftentimes backfires. And then I think it leads to things taking a lot longer in the long run, frankly.
Yeah. But you really hit on that idea of the judgment, because I think back to when I was a parent and, like you said, getting the stroller, and then it does feel that way. I remember being like the tot lots in Riverside Park and trying to get my son in the stroller, and became exactly what you said. It's like, a war of the wills, and his will against my will. And I did totally feel judged that I couldn't get my kid in the stroller. So can you talk a little bit about how possibly to let go of, I mean, maybe this is gonna be too big of a question, but how to let go of the judgment, and then how to not have it be a war of the wills?
I think looking at what's truly important, you know, does the opinion of the people in the park and in the scheme of things really matter?
No, but at that moment it feels like, oh, they're going to judge me. I'm a bad mom. I can't get my kid in the stroller. Right.
But acknowledging when you have that voice that comes to you that says, you know, gosh, I'm being judged. Everyone's watching me. I think that you can, that can prompt a whole lot of anxiety and this cascade of getting more and more rigid.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, all right, what do I need right now? What does my child need right now? Excuse me. Pardon me. And really acknowledging what it is what the child needs in that moment, and how do I give that to him? As opposed to, I need to get the approval of these people in the park. I'm prioritizing how they feel over how my child is doing or what I feel is right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, in the scheme of things, what these people, what their opinions are, really has no bearing on you.
Right.
But if you're governing your behavior in a way that you're kind of doing it for an audience, I think it's always going to feel like you're falling short, because you're not going to feel genuine or authentic to you.
Right. So, realizing that controlling is not the best thing. So how do you typically see children respond when the parents are trying to overly control them?
Well, it becomes a power struggle, frankly. And so, you know, you push on your child and your child pushes back.
Right.
And generally things get pretty messy because they get heated. You know, your child is frustrated. You're frustrated. Maybe it elevates into anger. And then you say or do something you regret. And then ultimately you've got to go back and prepare, which again, in the scheme of things takes a lot longer than just pausing in the moment. And instead of going down that path, looking at what actually would be more effective. And that is, what does my child need?
So can you talk so I keep thinking about, I get it's a power struggle, and I'm sure a lot of parents are thinking it's a power struggle, but how do you give up that it's a power struggle and still try to guide? Can you maybe give an example of, say, kids not getting the stroller? What is or let's go with something you have to, and it's a stroller, maybe that's not as big a deal, but it's like you have to get them out the door for an appointment or school or mm-hmm. something. And there is a tantrum. So how would you work through that?
Well, first of all, hopefully you've seen that tantrum building up and you find ways to find the off ramp.
Right.
You know, as a parent, you get a sense, okay, I know where this is headed. and if you keep pushing and doing what you're doing, it's just going to prompt you. Again, you know where this is going to wind up, or your child is going to be on the floor, you know, kind of banging his head on the floor. and so if you can identify earlier, as soon as you can, that you can see where this is going and figure out, how do I change tracks? I think one way, you know, a rule of thumb is, what is truly important in this moment? You know, does he have to, you know, put his shoes on, the shoes that I picked out, or can he wear his sandals in the winter? as long as he's got some kind of shoes on his feet, I'm going to bring his sneakers with him. So if he wants to go outside, he's going to see that actually it's quite cold outside. Maybe I do want those boots or those sneakers instead. It's not he's not losing face. I think a lot of parents feel like, you know, I'm right. And if I backtrack, or if I, you know, kind of capitulate, quote unquote, then somehow I'm losing face, and that's not, That's the last thing they want to do. They want to lose their authority. Instead, I think you can compromise with your child in a way that is, respectful. And also, I think you can say something to the effect of, goodness, you really want to wear those shoes. I hear you. I'm concerned that it's really cold outside. So what can we do about this? So you're trying to help them work out, instead of getting stuck in the problem, gosh, these shoes, I want to make you put these shoes on. Your kid's not putting the shoes on. And I'm so upset. And then kind of things get escalated. Taking a beat and working with your child as opposed to against him. Power struggle is really, it's like, it takes two. And if one of you steps out, hopefully, the adult has a bit more presence of mind and is able to say, and sometimes you're not going to be able to compromise. Your child has to put their seatbelt on. That's not a, there's no negotiation there. But you can use empathy. You can understand. You can see it from their point of view. I really see you really don't want to put that seatbelt on. I get it. You feel like it's uncomfortable. I hear you. You have to put it on, and how can we make it more comfortable for you? You see, it's a way of kind of working with your child as opposed to against them. And again, you are the authority. You are the parent. And not mistaking, I think sometimes parents get into a place where they start to feel like the child is in control.
Right.
So they obviate their own authority because they either don't want to be mean or they don't want to be punitive or they don't want to have a fight. So they just let the child have whatever it is that they're asking for, even if it's inappropriate. Now, you want candy for breakfast? I really don't want to fight. So, okay, here you go. Knowing that your child's behavior later on in the day is not going to be so hot because of the, the sugar rush. So I think that is having a certain kind of quiet confidence as a parent and not feeling like, gosh, I'm always second guessing myself.
That makes a lot of sense. So when a parent does try to overly control, why does this strategy backfire besides going into a bigger tantrum? Or is that the main thing? Does it affect the relationship and confidence and trust in one another?
Well, I think no one wants to be controlled. No one wants to be told what to do. And instead, if you can work with this, we're working on this as a team. I want to help you. If that's the mindset, how do I help? I think that can really go a long way. As opposed to, I'm going to tell you what to do because I'm right and I don't want to hear any lip about it. So do what I say, and that's it. Again, I think it's much more, and again, I think you can fast forward into the future and you want your child to be able to question when things don't feel right to them in a respectful way. So I think that, as opposed to, some higher up tells them to do something that it's not ethical or not legal, and they're just going to do it because that's been the mindset growing up, because you listen to authority without question.
It is hard for parents to hear that, because I feel like from generation to generation that has changed and evolved quite a bit.
Yeah. I think we want our children to be able to think.
Yeah, I agree.
And not like blind. And then that's why, we have, sometimes parents have kids that have very strong wills. And I always say that, that will help. These are children that will not be bullied, but they're very challenging to parent.
Yes, I have one.
There are certain things. Okay. That's fair. A lot of folks do. But I think, again, if you try to force somebody to do something, you're going to get much more resistance as opposed to let's work together to accomplish this, soliciting their opinions, soliciting their feedback and maybe their points of view about how to do things in as much as is reasonable. Mm-hmm. Your 3-year-old might have very wild ideas about how to do things. And you can listen to them and you can acknowledge that and say, okay, I'll take that under advisement. But, we're going to do it this way today. And let's try to incorporate some of the things that you maybe like, listening to a song that you like in the car as opposed to NPR as an incentive for a...
Have you been in my car? That's exactly what we listen to.
I hear you.
All right. So one thing I wanted to talk about was anxiety. And that was, I know you had an article on that caught my eye, which is why we're having this conversation. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, let's talk about how anxiety plays into the need to control or the desire to control. We'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up.
CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
All right, so let's open this up about how do you see anxiety coming into the desire to control?
Well, I think folks, and parents in particular, want to make sure they're doing the right thing. And so because the stakes feel high, they feel like it has to be done a certain way. And that leads us to feel pretty anxious. As you mentioned, you know, in the park, if you feel like everyone's watching you, it feels like I'm being judged, I'm being criticized. So it feeds into the sense of anxiety. And I get the sense that with parents who are desperate to have some kind of an approval, you know, being a parent is pretty thankless. Literally, you're not going to hear thank you for a long time. And so it can be really difficult to ascertain, am I on the right path? Am I doing the right thing? Which I think feeds into this anxiety of, you know, again, is this, am I messing my child up? Mm-hmm. And I think it is really counterproductive because oftentimes, you know, at least with the folks that I work with, they're anxious about being anxious. You know, they feel like this is getting in the way and it kind of creates its own spin, its own turmoil for them. But it is, you can use it as a sign. You know, if you are feeling anxious, you know, that can be a flag. Okay, let me take a pause here. Let me step back and look at what's actually going on and figure out, you know, do I want to continue doing what I'm doing?
Well, what are some of the signs of anxiety that people may not even realize they have anxiety?
Well, oftentimes, you acknowledge the physical symptoms before you realize, you know, kind of what got you there. So I'll find with folks, you know, their shoulders are getting tight, or they might kind of have their shoulders go up to their ears. Their stomach hurts. They feel like their stomach is dropping. They start to get achy or a headache. The throat gets dry. So there's certain like physical symptoms of anxiety or, you know, the heart rate is increased, the blood pressure's up. So they're feeling like they're kind of racing. You know, they go into fight or flight, basically. And unfortunately, when you're in fight or flight or freeze, your prefrontal cortex shuts down. So you're not thinking clearly anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, all about survival. So you're not thinking, you know, rationally or reasonably. And so that doesn't really lead to such great outcomes with kids, I find, when you're in a parenting situation, when you're feeling that anxiety start to build.
So is there any time that anxiety can serve a purpose? And my husband actually talked about this a lot because I feel like I fall into the category of anxiety and I use it when I think about in my business, I'm feeling a little anxious about something. It actually sometimes helps me refocus and mm-hmm. look, okay, where, and I call it like, where are there leaks in the plan? Where am I going to fix mm-hmm. those leaks? So I don't know if that's anxiety causing that or just, I don't know, but it feels like anxiety. So is there ever a time where anxiety can serve a purpose? And you might feel like, no, actually there is never, which is fine. I'm curious.
But you're using it as a cue to, okay, let me step back and make sure I'm on the right path.
Right.
And if I'm worried that I'm somehow getting off path, what can I do about it? So, you know, I liken it to, instead of getting stuck in the problem, you focus on problem solving. You know, I'm a visual person, so I imagine you come across kind of, you know, a muddy patch. Do I walk through it? Or actually, do I want to just go around it? And the idea is that you don't want to get stuck in the muck. You want to go around it. Like, I acknowledge it's there. I'm not pretending it's not there. Anyway, it's a sign. Your brain is trying to help you. It's trying to prevent you from suffering. And I think it's possible to acknowledge it and say, okay, thanks, but no thanks. This is not an emergency. I've got this.
So when you're working with your clients who are trying to control and are doing it from anxiety, what is the first step for them? Is it just acknowledging it? Is it breathing? How can they start to dismantle that habitual reaction?
Well, I think acknowledging, you know, what are your triggers? Is it a certain time of day? Is it a certain person you have to interact with? Is it a certain activity? And then coping in advance. Okay, I know this person triggers me. What can I do to make sure that I'm in a better state of mind? That it doesn't feel so urgent, that it doesn't feel so important. You know, I think it's that level of self-care is key. In other words, we want to teach this to our kids as well, right? When they're encountering a situation that they feel is stressful, we want to help them to game it out. look at how things might go and figure out what it is I need in that moment to make me feel the most confident, most secure, mm-hmm. best able to handle the situation. So some of that is kind of, you know, base level, making sure you're getting enough sleep, for instance, making sure you're taking care of yourself, you know, circling back to self-care. If that base is in place, I think it makes things a lot easier to deal with.
And that makes a lot of sense. So what are some better strategies to get kids to do what we ask them to do? Because there does need to be some sort of guidance and path to go along. It can't just be free fall all day.
Right. Well, I think if there's any takeaway from this, I hope people get that empathy is key, you know, and that doesn't mean you agree with your child, but it means you understand where they're coming from. And if you can cultivate that sense of, I see their point of view, that ultimately I think is exceptionally helpful, as opposed to why are they doing this to me? Why are they giving me such a hard time? I think empathy allows you to see they're having a hard time. They're not giving you a hard time. Some of the strategies that I think that are really effective is, like I mentioned before, that preventive maintenance. So making sure you're connecting daily with your child.
Well, can you give some examples of that?
Yeah. I mean, look, it's Laura Markham calls it special time, getting one-on-one time with your child, at least 20 minutes where the phone is off, everything is away, and you're really focusing 100% on your child. You're not checking email or watching your text. that is gold because your child feels like, you're filling their cup basically. You're giving them that concentrated dose of attention, which allows them to want to go along with you, basically. You know, I want to maintain this warm sense that I have with mom. So when she's asking me to make the bed and I'm not really keen to make the bed, well, okay, I'll go ahead and do it. It's that kind of a mentality. But it's a lot of the, you know, things that you're doing in advance to lay the groundwork. So when you do hit a rough patch, you can navigate that with a sense of calm and confidence. I think too, you know, just basic things, getting your child laughing. Mm-hmm. When you have that laughter, when you're sharing laugh together, that really, you know, fosters that sense of connection. But frankly, if children are pushing back a lot, oftentimes they just need to cry. They've got something on their minds that they've been carrying around all day. And frankly, I get a lot of folks that come to me saying, you know, my child is an angel with everybody else. Why is it with me all of a sudden, you know, the wheels come off and I get a meltdown or I get that tantrum? And my answer to that is that your child trusts you. Mm-hmm. They've been toting this around all day and they see that, you know, they have a warm shoulder to lean on and they know that you're going to be receptive. You're not going to run away. So they can unload. They can show you all the hurt and the pain and the fear.
And it seems like my kids are a little older, 8 and 11, and this is the same stuff I've been hearing for years and still trying to plant the seed, still trying to have one-on-one time with them and creating the safe place for them to come to. And yes, sometimes getting the tantrums that no one else is getting. So it seems like the foundation we lay with the relationship from the beginning really is the foundation for continuing, if I'm correct.
Absolutely. But it's also never too late. You know, again, I've had folks come to me and their kids are teenagers and they feel like, you know, is it too late? And it really never is. I think there's always time to forge that connection. And that's what really kids need to feel it. You know, you're on their side. You guys are ultimately, you're on the same team. It's not opposing sides.
Even though it doesn't always feel that way, we're on the same team. We're battling with phones and screen time at my house right now. Probably not the problems that most of our listeners who have younger children, but yeah, we have to remind ourselves we're on the same team.
So, that allows children to feel like, again, that despite them not agreeing with what you're asking them to do, they're more willing to do it.
So what are ways we can take care of ourselves so that we can parent in a way we'll feel proud of?
Yes, this is really key. And unfortunately, a lot of parents I find will kind of martyr themselves. Unfortunately, they put themselves last on the list. And I really don't think that self-care is selfish. I think it's critical. And so what does that really look like? I mean, just brass tacks. I mean, are you drinking enough water? Dehydration can make you feel depressed. Are you eating regularly? Are you eating quality foods? Or are you just kind of catching stuff on the fly? You know, garbage in, garbage out. Are you still taking vitamins and fish oil pills? Which, by the way, makes you drink more water. it's a side benefit. Are you sleeping well? You know, looking at people's sleep hygiene, I always, you know, my first session with clients, inevitably, you know, we look at self-care and a big component is sleep hygiene. Are they sleeping properly? Because sleep, you know, if you're not sleeping well, everything is harder.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, think ways to have fun. What do you do for fun? You know, kind of writ small, obviously, it's not doing anything like jumping on a plane someplace exotic. It's about what can I do? You know, small things, but small things you can do often. Because unfortunately, no one's going to hand that to you on a platter as a parent. I wish they would. But I think you owe it to yourself to do things for yourself that make you feel good.
These are really important. I have to say, while you're talking, I grabbed my water. I'm like, ooh, okay. I've been doing too much coffee all morning. I have the water sitting there and I keep grabbing the coffee. So thank you for that reminder of the hydration. I didn't know that dehydration can cause depression. That's an interesting.
Well, when you think about it, you know, it slows down your systems. And the depression is really about, again, kind of the things could become more challenging. The becomes harder to act because you're feeling dulled, you're feeling slowed down. And so, you know, it kind of feeds into that sense of being low.
Now, here's a question also, if we're talking about anxiety and the parents' anxiety in self-care, I'm assuming also, and you're a therapist, I'm assuming you'd be very much on this point. What about the idea that the parent, if they're having a lot of anxiety, should seek their own help and support for that so that when they're with their child or parenting, that the anxiety has a little bit more of a container?
Well, I think it's really critical to model for your kids. So, you know, if you're anxious and you feel like you're modeling to your children that this is how you handle that anxiety, you know, you get wound up, you get tight, tense, you start to yell at people, you get more rigid. Well, guess what your child's going to do when they're anxious? So I do think that if you're able to work on your own anxiety in your own therapy or if you want to use exercise or ways to, you know, but looking at that as an important component to your own self-care, because I think it is meaningful. I think it does pay dividends. And I think if you show to other people and to yourself that, you know, it is important that I take care of myself. And like I mentioned, that's really modeling for your child. You don't need to be a martyr. And I think that, you know, unconditional self, you know, unconditional love that we want to convey to our children has to start with us.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. Okay, we're going to take another break, but when we come back, what is one final tip or piece of advice you would like to offer new or expectant parents? We'll be right back.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So you are a parent, you are a therapist, you work in the perinatal world. Is there something that is popping into your head that you want to leave as the final golden nugget?
Be kind to yourself. I really think that a lot of parents judge themselves so harshly and feel like they're failing out of the gate, which ultimately is not helpful for you or your child. So focusing on, you know, what is it I need right now to take care of myself? And I think too, acknowledging this is hard. Parenting is challenging,
yeah.
No doubt. And it's not like everyone else has it figured out except for you. You know, I think that acknowledgement is important because it allows you to see that, okay, you know, I'm connected. I'm part of a community. I'm part of, you know, I'm not alone. I think the feeling of being alone can really fire up people's anxiety and their sense of, oh, this is challenging in a way that I can't handle.
Right. Yeah. I think the support, like the support of a community, the support of others and recognizing they're not alone is huge. Where can people find your work?
Yeah, folks are welcome to reach out to me for a consultation or just to say hi. I've got a website called mommygroove.com. Folks are welcome to reach me there. I'm also on Instagram at olivia.bergeron.nyc.
Well, perfect. We will put all that in the show notes. Thank you so much for coming on and talking about something I think many parents feel they're struggling with, the whole control issue. And you really gave some great insight that it's not about control, it's about communication. So I think those are really good thoughts. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
This has been an episode of Yoga Birth Babies, produced by Prenatal Yoga Center. You can catch us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope. I'm Deb Flaschenberg. Thanks for listening.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.